When I woke up the next morning, I could hear birds chirping from outside my window, but I did not immediately open my eyes. I only sighed as I sank deeper into the fluffy comforter and very luxurious soft mattress, but the memories from the day before caused me to squint one eye open. I lifted my head and surveyed the room. Soft sunlight filled in through sheer drapes. In the light, the guest bedroom seemed bright and airy. The white furniture and gray walls were a nice contrast. There was an alarm clock that showed it was mid-morning, and I noticed that there was a note beside it. Went out to buy some groceries. There are clean clothes and a towel in the bathroom. Roland. I set the note back down on the nightstand and got out of bed. Once I was done getting dressed, I made my way over to the bedroom door. The hallway outside my room was empty, and I would have guessed that there was no one home if not for the smell of someone cooking. I closed the door beside me and slowly walked down the stairs toward the kitchen. The kitchen was big, just like the rest of the house. The cabinets were painted gray, and the counters were a light, polished wood, and the backsplash was alternating taupe and black mosaic tiles. Roland had his back to me, taking something out of the oven. He swiveled his head around like he had already known that I was standing there the whole time. He probably did.
Good morning, Gav. Made breakfast pizza, your favorite. How you feeling?
I scratched the back of my head and shrugged. I took a seat at the table and poured myself some coffee. Definitely better than yesterday. I looked around and noticed that Roland and I were the only ones eating breakfast. So, where's everyone else?
Mom took an early shift at work, and my dad has a meeting around 1.
He explained as he came over. He placed the pizza on the table, and a bottle of ranch. He knew me so well, and I happily grabbed 2 slices. I realized right then that I was absolutely ravenous.
Hungry, aren't you?
Roland smiled in amazement.
The contents in that mug should have kept you satisfied throughout the night, but you're acting like you're starving.
I don't know, I said between mouthfuls. I guess I'm just really hungry. Are you gonna eat?
Nah, I already had breakfast earlier, he said. Maybe you should chew your food.
I swallowed and pointed my half-eaten slice of pizza at him. A piece of egg fell off of it.
I blame you for making one of my favorite foods. You're an amazing cook. For making something so quick and easy?
He laughed.
Yes?
I dipped my slice of pizza in the ranch. Also, you're the one who usually cooks our meals at home anyway.
That's true. What would you do without me?
He smirked.
Oh, I don't know. Get murdered by demons? You know, after they dissected my body?
I said. When I saw the smirk on Roland's face dip into a frown, I immediately regretted it. I placed the slice of pizza on the plate. Okay, that was in bad taste. But at the same time, it's the truth. If you hadn't gotten there when you did, I don't know what would have happened.
You don't have to worry about that. You're here with me and you're safe. It'll be okay, all right?
How? I thought to myself. How is it going to be okay? This isn't some video game or a horror film where everything was play pretend. This is real life. Normal humans don't defeat demonic beings in real life. They die. I was not equipped for this. As far as I knew, I didn't have any awesome superpowers, and before anyone says anything, being able to sense demons is not an awesome superpower. It is a curse. And because of it, people have died. People have died because I played ignorant. Maybe if I was smarter, more careful, and kept to myself, none of this would have happened.
Hey!
Roland snapped his fingers lightly, breaking me out of my thoughts about how unfair my life was.
Stop that. I can practically hear you think. As I was saying, while you were sleeping, my father was able to get in contact with someone that might be able to help.
Really? I asked, my posture straightened. Who is it? This guy's name's Mort. He wants us to meet him at his place around breakfast. Roland explains.
Oh, and I was meaning to give these back to you, but I kind of forgot, and you seemed exhausted, so I decided to wait until you woke up.
He walked out of the kitchen for a moment, and then came back with a black box. The box that held the blade he got me for my birthday. And laying right next to it was my phone. A wave of relief washed over me, and I brushed my fingers over the blade. I thought I would never get it back.
Roland, you are seriously my best friend ever,
I said with gratitude.
I know,
he said. It was around 1 when we grabbed an Uber and headed out to meet this Mort. Roland told me that his mother was borrowing the Jeep since his car was in the shop. The car turned at a dented mailbox that hung at a crooked angle. Through the thick brush that bordered the driveway, a small red house came into view.
This is the place,
the driver announced. Roland thanked the lady and slung his duffel bag over his shoulder. As the car drove away, we walked up to the house. Roland took the lead and stepped up to the door and knocked twice. How long was it appropriate to wait on a stranger's porch, I wonder? As far as I know, Elijah told him that we were coming ahead of time, so this guy should be home. I was just about to suggest that Roland ring the doorbell when I heard the door unlock from the other side. A short, plump man with blue eyes and dark, moussey hair greeted us.
Yes, he asked in a gruff voice. I'm Roland, and this is Gavin. And my father, Elijah, told you we were coming.
Mort eyed the two of us almost warily, and then he nodded and opened the door wide enough for us to come in. The home was compact, with a small kitchen to the right and a bedroom straight ahead. The living area was small, cluttered with papers, books, and other various items. A flat-screen TV hung above the mantel. Mort motioned us to the couch next to a coffee table, which had a large plate of mini-sandwiches and tea. Mort sat across from us in a cushioned chair.
"Please, help yourselves,"
Mort said. I grabbed one of the sandwiches from the plate. Even after 2 slices of breakfast pizza, I was still kind of hungry.
Wow, these are delicious,
I commented. The cucumber had just the right amount of mayonnaise and pepper, and I decided to take 2 more and put them on a small paper plate, shamelessly. Mort gave me a smile. Roland sipped his tea and took a bite from his sandwich. I took a large gulp of tea and reached over to carefully put my empty cup back on its saucer. I had barely let go of the handle when Mort pounced on it, snatching it away and peering into it intently. I sat back into the sofa.
Hey, if you see the grim, don't tell me, I said. I don't want to know.
Roland placed his cup down and leaned forward as Mort examined the cup and scowled with frustration.
That's odd. There's nothing for me to read here.
Wait, you're a fortune teller?
I asked. I glanced at Roland, who shrugged, and took another sandwich from the plate. Mort ignored my question, clearly annoyed.
The images are jumbled, meaningless.
Then he glanced up at me.
I wonder, is there possibly a block on your mind?
Roland paused and made a bite into his sandwich, and I just blinked at Mort.
Probably. At this rate, nothing would surprise me.
Mort and Roland exchanged a puzzled glance, then looked away sharply upon recognizing their moments of commiseration.
Okay, I don't actually know what that means, I added. A block, I mean.
Mort sat back and said,
It's a very advanced spell that could have different effects. It's possibly the type of spell used to conceal away certain memories or even abilities.
I thought about it for a moment. I mean, that kind of made sense. Maybe it was the former. And if that's the case, then why? What about the memory was so bad that it had to be concealed? The thought was intensely disturbing. But I don't know how it would have gotten there. Another thought occurred to me. Is there anything you can do? Mort shook his head, unsatisfied.
No. This is beyond me. But you're in luck. I happen to know someone who might be able to help you.
He reached into his pocket and took out his phone.
Like who?
I asked.
His name's Risand.
Mort answered as he scrolled through his phone that I assumed was his contacts.
His powers are of the mind. If what I assume is true, he'll be able to undo whatever was done to you.
Roland frowned.
I've heard of him. He's kind of creepy, to be honest.
Ignoring Roland's comment, I said, so what you're saying is that he can read minds?
That actually doesn't sound too bad.
To be fair, I'd rather have someone mess around in my head for a missing memory than be dissected on some metal slab as some demonic science experiment. Mort paced around as he talked, rather animatedly on the phone. It's evidence that whoever was on the other end was someone Mort admires. After he was done, he came over and sat back down.
I have someone coming to pick you two up in 30 minutes. He said.
A half an hour later, we heard a car pull up in the driveway. Mort got up from the chair, and without hesitation, he opened the door. A petite black woman with shoulder-length black hair and dark eyes stood in the doorway. She wore a faded purple sweatshirt that was too big for her petite frame, with a picture of an anime I couldn't name. The sleeves reached just over the tips of her slender fingers that almost ended right below the waist of her thin, albeit comfortable-looking black pants. She wore a leg holster strapped to her right thigh. I eyed the gun tucked inside for a brief moment before meeting her eyes. She looked at Mort and smiled.
Hey, what's up, Mort? It's been a while, she said, and pulled him into a hug.
Yes, Layla, it has. You need to visit more often. It gets lonely around here,
Mort said.
When I find time, you'll be the first one I call. So, are they the ones you told me about?
She held her hand out for me to take, and I shook it tentatively.
It's nice to meet you two. Are you ready to head out?
I think Mort saw hesitation in my face, because he said,
Layla is one of Ryzen's personal assistants and a longtime friend of mine. I would trust her with my life.
Layla just rolled her eyes.
You seriously give me too much credit, Mort.
She blushed. Roland grabbed his duffel bag and turned to look at me.
You ready to do this, Gav?
He asked. I nodded. Mort placed his head on my arm.
Hold on, you two. I want to give you something before you go.
He walked over to the fireplace and grabbed a small gray box with pretty carvings on it from on top of the mantel. He came back over to us and removed the lid. He took out two tiny octagonal-shaped charms with a weird symbol on both sides. They hung on a silver chain to be worn as a necklace.
What are they?
I asked. Roland took his and put it on, and tucked it underneath his shirt.
The charms imbued with a protection spell. Keep them on your person. Don't lose them.
After we said our goodbyes, Roland and I followed Layla to her Civic parked outside.
So, how long do you estimate we'll be on the road for?
Roland said, as he placed his duffel bag under him.
About 7 days by car, Layla replied. But,
she quickly added when she noticed the "Are you serious?" look on my face.
I say, screw that. I know a better way to get us there in no time at all.
What does that even mean? I asked.
You're talking about a portal, right?
Roland exclaimed.
I turned to him, open-mouthed.
Wait, are you serious? No freaking way.
That's exactly right, Layla nodded.
She made a right turn and took the ramp to the freeway. I noticed we were leaving town. Once we went off the freeway, I noticed that we were entering somewhere outside of town that was empty and desolate. I don't know why, but I got an eerie feeling of being watched, even as we drove by. Layla pulled up to the curb and turned off the engine right next to an old subway entrance.
"We're here,"
she announced, as the three of us got out. She threw her backpack over her shoulder and placed the key on the dashboard and locked it.
Hold on, what are you doing?"
I asked. I couldn't believe it. She's really going to leave this car here, out in the open, with the key inside.
"What do you mean? We won't be needing it anymore."
Layla started towards the stairs.
"Come on, let's go."
When we got to the bottom of the stairs, I saw Layla standing with her hand on her hip, in front of a wall of graffiti-covered plywood that blocked the entrance. The place seemed abandoned, and by the looks of the aged wood, this place had been closed for a long time. She reached towards the wall with one hand, grabbed on the boards, and gave it a tug. It didn't seem like she gave it much effort at all, but instantly, the boards pulled loose in one piece, and it opened up an avenue into the station. I assumed at one time that this used to be a busy station. I envisioned people waiting to board the train. I glanced to my right and could make out ornate mosaic tile works on the walls that arched up towards the ceiling. Parts of it were covered in various advertisements, which were either torn or faded with age. There was garbage everywhere, and benches were overturned, and the thin glass around the booths was shattered and covered in spray paint and cobwebs. Layla walked over to the wide wall between the tracks. She opened her bag and took out a small box and sprayed silver mist into a section of the wall that revealed a circular keyhole with weird-looking designs.
"This is it."
She placed the bottle back into her bag.
"This is..."
Suddenly, Roland stood rigid in place.
"Someone's coming this way," he whispered.
Without saying anything, Layla kicked her bag underneath one of the benches and drew out her gun from its holster. She motioned for us to hide. A minute later, I saw it. A slouched-over figure, dressed in thick, brown and gray clothing, moving out of the shadows. His face was caked in dried blood, framed by shaggy brown hair. His eyes were bright blue, like the hottest part of the flame. He flexed his long, bony fingers as his crusty lips curled back to show his razor-sharp teeth. Without a second, he lunged for her. She quickly dodged him and attempted to shoot him, but he dodged that in return. His next blow caught her off guard, and she stumbled, just barely keeping her balance. He took that opportunity to grab her wrist, and he squeezed hard. The pressure of his hold forced her to drop her gun. He kicked it away, and it fell onto the tracks. He leaned in behind her, and grinned from ear to ear.
"Remember me?"
he growled.
"Samuel,"
Layla replied with a frown.
"Who the hell was Samuel?" "You smelled so delicious, and you're quite the fighter. I like that. I just knew that I had to have you, and so I followed you. I'm gonna have some fun with you, and then..."
Samuel put his mouth to her ear, and his words were too quiet for me to hear it on his conversation. But the expression on Layla's face told me enough.
"I'm not edible, Jagoff," she grimaced.
"Perhaps not a full meal, but maybe a light snack, I think,"
he crooned as he licked his lips.
"No, I mean you literally would regret it," she said. "I'd give you a bad case of indigestion."
"Now that's no way to treat a lady,"
said a deep, masculine voice from the other end of the station. The voice was cold and menacing. Samuel moved so he was facing the source of the voice.
"What the hell? Who's there? Who are you?"
The voice chuckled. There was really no need for introductions.
and I'd hate to waste time on formalities with filth who's about to die here. The shadows shifted, and a tall shape moved forward into the light. He was a lean man with light blonde hair and bright green eyes. He wore black pants and a black long-sleeved shirt. Over that, he wore some kind of leather harness that crisscrossed his chest, holding an assortment of blades and other carry-on weapons, and even had a gun strapped to his thigh, just like Layla.
"Don't get cocky,"
Samuel spat.
"Stay back, or I'll rip her apart like cotton candy."
He slid his hands to her throat. His claws dug into her skin while his other hand stayed behind her back. "That's a bit melodramatic, don't you think?" The man quipped. He took a step forward, then another.
"Fine,"
Samuel hissed.
"Her death will be on your hands."
Before the man reached them, Samuel brought back his arm and plunged his hand through Layla's back with a sickening sound, crushing bone and ripping past flesh and muscle. I watched in absolute horror as her eyes rolled back in her head and her chest split open. Her body gave one last twitch and then hung limp. Samuel retracted his arm and held her steaming, sopping wet heart in his hand with a smug and hungry look on his face. I clenched my hands into fists. My nails bit into my palms, and I felt a sickening drop in my stomach. I couldn't do anything but watch. Samuel casually took a bite out of it. The blood ran freely down his chin. He smiled and dropped the organ on the ground. He tossed her body in our direction, like discarded trash. Her body slammed into the broken wall we hid behind. Layla's dead-eyed stare made my heart lurch. I felt a scream form in my throat, but Roland quickly clamped a hand over my mouth. The man in the vest narrowed his eyes.
"Now it's your turn. Between the both of you, I'll have food to last me a week."
He lunged forward, but before he could land a single blow, something jerked Samuel backwards. An ominous miasma permeated the air as a shadow took shape right behind him from the ground. Four unnaturally long, pale arms wrapped themselves tightly around him as a slender, naked woman rose from out of the darkness. Her face was blanketed by long strands of black hair. Suddenly, Samuel released an ear-piercing screech that reverberated all around us. Roland and I both plugged our ears and groaned in pain, but I managed to watch as the woman's bony fingers dug into his flesh. He clawed at her desperately, but it was futile. His flesh started to steam as it twisted and withered away. Blood seeped out of every orifice and pooled on the grounds beneath them. His scream died, and his body went limp. The woman pulled her arms away from him, and his body collapsed. The creepy, four-armed woman disappeared back into the shadows. I blinked. "What the hell was that thing?" The man grimaced and walked over to the dry husk that used to be Samuel and reached into his pouch. From it, he produced a small yellow vial. With a deft motion, he poured the vial's contents over the body, and then stepped back. Where the drops had hit his corpse, black smoke began to curl away. The smoke quickly spread horizontally until it cocooned the body entirely. In a few seconds, the smoke dissipated, leaving an innocuous pile of dust behind. "You two can come out now," the man said. "It's safe. I was sent by my boss, Ryzen Winters." I perked up at the name, though I hesitated, thinking that staying hidden was a better option. What if that grudge-looking thing is still around? I don't want my skin to dry up like a prune. Roland placed a hand on my shoulder and gave me a reassuring nod and stood up.
"It's fine, Gav. He's telling the truth."
"All right, whatever you say."
I stood up from our hiding place, but before I could move away from the wall, however, I felt something tug at my pant leg. I glanced down and panicked.
What the hell?
I babbled almost incoherently. Layla squeezed my ankle while her other hand came up to her face, just in case I decided to kick at her.
Stop that. Just calm down, will you?
How the hell am I supposed to calm down? You're a freaking zombie.
Oh my god. Did that mean that zombies existed? Roland quickly pulled me away from her as she slowly sat upright and groaned.
Oh, that sucked. That was my favorite sweatshirt, too.
She glared up at me.
And I'm not a zombie, okay? So relax.
Oh, so you're finally awake, the man said. He sauntered over and picked something up from the ground and examined it.
Hey,
Layla snapped at him.
Quit playing with my heart, Oliver. Give it here.
The man, Oliver, rolled his eyes and tossed the organ to Layla, who caught it easily.
Be careful, you jerk.
She unzipped her backpack and took out a jar. She placed her heart into it and placed it back into her bag. She took out a black jacket and put it over her sweatshirt to hide the gaping hole in her chest. She turned around and stomped over to the pile of dust.
Darn it, Oliver, I really wanted to kill him.
She pouted. Then she glanced down.
Oh yeah, my gun.
She hopped down to grab her gun off the tracks, as if she hadn't just had her heart ripped out of her chest a moment ago. Clearly that wasn't going to happen. Oliver scoffed. You're welcome, by the way. Layla flipped him the bird as she climbed back onto the platform.
Okay, seriously, what the hell was that?
I exclaimed. My job, Oliver stated, simply.
Okay, fine. Keep your secrets, I thought.
He took something small from his pocket. It was a key similar to Layla's. He placed the key into the keyhole and placed his other hand on the circle and moved it in a 90-degree angle and then pushed in. For a moment, nothing happened. Then something, actually many somethings, clicked and slid into place on the other side. The wall in front of us cracked and popped as it began to ripple with bursting light.
That is so cool,
I breathed. Let's go, Oliver said again. He placed the key back into his pocket, and without another word, he stepped through. I watched as the light swirled. Something smelled good. The three of us stepped through the swirling, ominous warmth, leaving the abandoned train stop behind.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.